Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, the podcast where we reminisce about our geeky childhoods with our un-geeky beer. I'm Tim.
And I'm not drinking beer.
You heathen. What are you drinking?
There's a lot of calories in beer.
There are. Can get a Mick Ultra, 80 calories a bottle.
Yeah.
Or is it 70?
But I also, if I'm going to drink a Mick Ultra, I'd rather just drink water, so I'm...
I like Mick Ultra.
I like beer.
Fine. What are you drinking?
I'm just drinking water for now. What are you drinking?
I am drinking tea, all right? And it's not spiked with any kind of alcohol whatsoever, but it is in a Batman mug. Because this is Beer with Geeks, and this is your house, and you gave me this Batman mug, so thanks very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
To drink it. Yeah,
not Earl Grey, but it is hot.
It is hot. Yes, very hot. No beer for us right now, purely for the fact that garbs. And I can't afford to buy new pants. So
it was one or the other.
It was either don't drink beer or buy new pants. So I chose...
Made a tough choice.
I chose tea because of the antioxidants.
Mm.
So, last week we left you on a cliffhanger. What were we going to talk about next week? Oh, wait, no, it's part, just like Avengers Infinity War or Justice League, this episode was split into a two-parter. All right. I could have also said Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows or Hunger Games or...
Stop there. Just don't.
Well, my other one was Twilight, so
that's
why you had me stop. Well, I said it anyway. All right. So anyway, so last time we talked about, basically we talked about early 90s or 89 about with The Punisher, moving all the way up to 2007 with Ghost Rider, Spider-Man 3, and Fantastic Four, The Rise of the Silver Surfer.
And that leaves us right at the beginning of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. It absolutely does. So kicking off in 2008, we've got three movies to talk about. Only two of them in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So let's talk about the non-Marvel Cinematic Universe one first.
Ooh, okay.
2008, Punisher Warzone, starring Ray Stevenson as the Punisher, who would, fun fact, later go on to play Volstagg in Thor.
Oh.
Yep. Actually, two years from then. Okay, so that's what we got. So,
haven't seen it.
Take it away. Oh, you really haven't?
No, I really haven't.
Oh, okay. It's not great. It's super violent, which is what fans were clamoring for at the time. They were like, Punisher needs to be ultra violent. And so they made it ultra violent, and people were like, this is too violent. And you can't okay. please them. Script was okay. It was definitely, it was on the cornier side.
Yeah.
The Punisher, you could do as realistic as it comes for the most part. And they just went in a comic booky direction, and it was odd. It wasn't great. It had a lot of neon. It felt like a Schumacher film. It, because of the neon, Schumacher, in case you're unaware, I'm referring to Joel Schumacher, the demon lord of the Batman film universe. So, who's actually a good director? It just wasn't suited for it. He can be. I've seen good films that he's done, and so it's just... wasn't his forte. But anyway, it's okay. Ray Stevenson, I thought, actually did a great job. I'm a big fan of Ray Stevenson. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. I really like him. He was in Rome on HBO, which is great.
He was
in the Three Musketeers movie that nobody saw that I like. I love, even though, because it's not that great of a movie, but it's campy and fun, and I like it.
You have a weakness definitely for Three Musketeers. It's like one of your favorite stories.
Totally. We've talked about that already. Yeah, but I do have a weakness for that story. Anyway, in 2008, we had two movies. We had Iron Man, and we had The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before, when they made those movies, they really didn't have the intention of forming a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Not really. Yeah, no. This is what jump-started it.
Yeah, Iron Man jump-started it because it became... It was a huge...
Huge hit.
It was... Well, yeah, it was a huge hit, but it was a huge gamble. You're taking a B character that nobody in the mainstream audience really knew. Even sales on Iron Man were kind of lukewarm.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was not a character that really many people knew.
Not unlike this tea. Oh, it's so hot.
Yeah, and Robert Downey Jr., who had all this, all this trouble.
Yeah, this was his comeback.
And
John Favreau had to, and Kevin Feige fought for Downey Jr. on this.
Yes,
like fought for him. And isn't everybody glad they did? Because he's kind of like he has. Apart from him being one of the main reasons that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is successful, man's made bank.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bank. Like, Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on the Joker bank. Yeah, even more than that. He's one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood right now, actually.
That's what I understand, yeah.
But the Tony Stark persona that he now lives in is the reason for that.
Right.
And so, anyway, when you saw it, what were you expecting? Like, do you remember?
I was not expecting much. I had not read many Iron Man stories up to that time.
Yeah.
This was kind of at the beginning of my coming back into the fold as like a comic book reader. So I remember the day I was planning to see it, I had planned to see it with a friend, and I read the Wikipedia page about Iron Man just to brush up a little bit.
Okay.
That day. And I was like, oh, okay, this is probably going to be kind of lame. Like, I don't know. But I mean, it could be cool, but it's kind of like the Batman of the Marvel Universe in a way, because he's like the billionaire. Okay, like whatever.
There are a lot of billionaire superheroes out there.
There are.
To make that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Like Green Arrow too. Like yeah. But yeah. But yeah. I was going into it thinking like this is probably going to be like kind of a Batman ripoff.
Right.
But the promos didn't really look like that. It looked like a much more upbeat movie than a Batman movie.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Just in terms of tone. So I was like, okay, we'll see.
Well, yeah, because I was going to say. Yes, that you're right, because Begins came out in 2005, so that was technically, right. We had gone back into dark and gritty mode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is the same year that Dark Knight came out, is it not?
2008, yeah.
Yeah.
Great summer. So, it was the same
fantastic
summer.
Fantastic summer.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I was just like, okay, yeah, we'll see. This will be probably a pretty good movie. And I was blown away, like everybody else in America.
Everybody was amazing. Blown away.
So good.
Anyway, good. It's it's funny because like they've had all of these movies come out, and people still look back at Iron Man and go, it might be the best one. You know, yeah. I mean, people have their own opinions, and it's just like being in a comic store. Everyone's like, no. Captain America is better. No, even like regular folk now, the regular folk are arguing the same merits. I mean, based on a smaller exposure, I would argue, but it's the same argument.
Yeah.
Like, no, this person, no, they're better. No, they're better. No, this film is better. No, this film is better. It's great. It's great conversation to have.
It's so awesome.
Well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the second highest grossing franchise ever. Harry Potter wins.
Really?
But it will eventually not.
Yeah, because, I mean, because just sheer numbers making, of movies.
Right, sheer number of movies. By the time that Fantastic Beasts comes out for Warner Brothers in the Harry Potter universe, Marvel's got more movies under their belt.
Right.
It's just they win. So that's Iron Man. We talked about this last episode with Spider-Man losing his mask.
Yeah.
And Tony loses his mask at the end of this one. They're still in that, apart from Kevin Feige, produced by Avi Arad, the man behind all those movies.
Yep.
And if you look at the producing list, Avi Arad did Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and then dropped off. He no longer worked in that realm anymore. Thank the good Lord.
Yeah.
So we have Iron Man. Let's talk Incredible Hulk.
this could have been a very, very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be an okay movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion. An okay movie. Could have been very, very good, but
it has its good moments, for yes, sure. It's not a bad movie in any stretch of the imagination.
I really think it's hard for Hulk to support his own movie.
Yep. I agree. People clamor for a Hulk movie, but they're smarter than that. They know that.
They got two in like 5 years, and
neither of them performed admirably well. And some people say that it was like, oh, well, that's the direction. Oh, well, maybe that was Ed Norton or anything like that. I liked Ed Norton.
I liked him too.
I thought he did a good job. Yeah. I liked the effects. I liked the look. They went in a completely opposite direction of the look for the Hulk, where
yes,
Ang Lee's, he was kind of chubby. He was chubby strong.
Looked like Ang Lee.
Yeah, actually, you're right. Although it was Eric Bana's face stretched out,
yeah,
actually. But
yeah.
But
was it?
Yeah, it was.
Wait, was it?
It was. Mm-hmm.
I'm agreeing with you before I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, no, it was. I remember watching the... I'm a big behind-the-scenes guy for this stuff.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, yeah, I am usually too. But
yeah. And then Incredible Hulk, they went in the opposite, and he had like 0% body fat on him at all, and he was like super roided out, which I thought was a good look, but it just... The movie itself is okay.
Yeah,
the movie itself is okay.
It's okay,
but it does have a good stinger at the end with Tony Stark coming in and General Ross being like, "Stark, you always have such nice suits."
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Boom! It's so funny because he wears a suit.
Suits.
But that movie, that sting was originally supposed to lead into the Avengers movie coming up, but teaming up against to fight the Hulk,
right?
Because the Avengers number one. Is Loki taking control of the Hulk and they have to fight the Hulk.
Right.
That's the first issue of the Avengers. And so that's what we were left with. But that sting they put with Nick Fury at the end of Iron Man was like, hey, this is funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And then that just exploded into like, well, what if we actually connect the dots? Now, that's what they say. Their story changes sometimes.
It does a little bit.
And so that seems to be the one that they stick with a lot. There is that, thing that put out on ABC, the 75th anniversary of Marvel. I haven't watched it yet.
Neither have I.
I haven't gotten there yet. And so, I don't know, maybe the story will be different on there. We should watch it.
Yeah.
It's in my DVR, I promise you.
Same.
But The Flash and Arrow are on. I have to watch those. Yeah. So let's move on to 2009 with the greatest movie of all time, X-Men Origins Wolverine.
The greatest movie I saw before it was released.
You saw it before it was released?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, come on. You don't know about this?
No.
Oh, my God, Tim. All right. So before it was released, it leaked on BitTorrent.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. And the effects were not finished yet.
Oh, my God. I did know this.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. Yeah, I was like, how do you know?
Okay,
that?
Yeah. All right.
It was like one of the biggest leaks ever.
I forgot because the effects don't look that much different when they were finished.
That's the sad part.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, so I saw it before it was released like everyone else did. That was one of the reasons why it suffered at the box office or you know, they claim everyone saw it before it came out.
No, it suffered at the box office because it's a stupid movie.
It was a stupid movie.
They took great, even Hugh Jackman now, who is like, he's usually a very good supporter of the movies that he comes out with. Even if they're not great, you know, he's good at working around the bush. He had now said, we missed a lot of steps with that movie.
Yeah.
And I think, again, a lot of these movies have good intentions, but you can feel Fox studio meddling again.
Yeah.
And there's something about Logan when they take away, when he becomes more of an action hero, you know, like clean-cut Canadian action hero, instead of, why are you looking at me like that? Wolverine's Canadian.
I know.
I know.
I wasn't sure. I heard clean, and I was like, where's he? Oh, clean cut.
Cut. Clean cut. It just doesn't fly the same way at all.
All right, what to say about this movie? It
has its moments.
It has its moments, as they all pretty much do. Was this meant to be the first in a series of X-Men Origins?
Yes, it was. The second one was supposed to be Magneto,
okay,
which eventually spawned into X-Men First Class, which was a soft reboot, which then became a semi-hard reboot with Days of Future Past.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, we talked about this last time. I just don't want to be Debbie Downer on all these things.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do all the things I don't like.
No. But like I said, I think it did have its moments. There are parts that are really good and parts that they really screwed up.
Sure.
Deadpool, they screwed up.
Yep.
But I think, like, say, some of the Weapon X stuff was cool.
Yep.
And I liked Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth.
I thought he was actually pretty good. Yeah,
I thought his look could have used a little bit of work. But the thing with that is like it counteracts what they establish in X-Men, the first X-Men movie,
yep.
And it doesn't counteract. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean. Like, whatever.
Actually, I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, it doesn't mesh. Like it's not established in.
I would say
in X-Men they don't know each other.
That's so yeah. When you say counteract, I think.
But yeah, see,
it just doesn't.
In X-Men they don't know each other. It appears maybe right. Like Sabretooth takes his tags,
yeah.
Leading to the assumption maybe they do know each other.
It contradicts.
That's the word I wanted. Thank you. By the time you get to X-Men Origins, Wolverine loses his memory, right. But Sabretooth should still know who he is.
Right.
And that's the part that's iffy.
Yep.
But anyway, so 2010, Iron Man 2. And yeah, Iron Man 2. Yeah, it was the only one.
This is actually probably one of my least favorite of the Marvel.
People keep saying that. I really like Iron Man 2. Okay.
I like it.
All right.
I just don't love it.
Talk to me.
Okay. Frank. It didn't top Iron Man 1.
No, I don't think a lot of them do.
It did not top Iron Man 1. I think that it's... I would still put it above Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a decline in storytelling quality. It's not as gripping a story. I don't think Mickey Rourke is really compelling.
Okay.
But...
I make a robot. I have... You must get my bird. Get my bird from Russia. Yes, you must get my bird. I'm going to sit here with my tattoos and fiddle with machine. You get my bird. Okay.
Correct.
Was that pretty good?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, dear.
Yeah.
Does it absolutely have its really, really great moments? Of course it does.
Yeah.
Many, many of them.
Yeah.
More than not.
And they're all with Pepper Potts.
I can't deny that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you can't. No, move aside. Step aside. I love Pepper so much.
I want one.
I like it. A lot of people said it, they're trying to shoehorn all this stuff in. It's like, well, that's what you wanted.
Well,
you gotta sacrifice one movie to establish something greater.
That's how I look at it. Like, looking back on it, at the time I was looking at it not in the cinematic universe perspective, but in the, like, okay, here's the second Iron Man movie.
See, I was looking at it in the cinematic universe perspective.
I mean, I wasn't even thinking in those terms yet, really, because we hadn't really seen other than Hulk.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that...
Yeah, because Thor was on the horizon, but it wasn't quite there yet.
It wasn't out yet, so you didn't see the full scope of things, or I didn't see the full scope of things.
Yeah.
But I do, as much as I didn't care for Mickey Rourke, I thought he was only okay. Sam Rockwell, on the other hand.
I love Sam Rockwell. I actually just watched Hail to the King not too long ago, that short film with Trevor Slattery.
Okay.
And Sam Rockwell shows up at the very end. He's like, what has this guy got? I mean, I had an army of robots, you know. What does this guy have? Like, oh, I love it. It's so great. No, not here.
He was outstanding.
He was great. I love Sam Rockwell. I would love to see Sam Rockwell show up again for some reason.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know where he'd fit necessarily. He wouldn't,
but if they could make it work, I would be happy.
I'd be all over that. I love Sam Rockwell. If they could
make it work, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. 2011 saw the horizon of Thor, X-Men First Class, and Captain America, the First Avengers. So
now we're talking.
Now we're getting into it. Okay, so we have 11, 12, 13. We have 4 years to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to do this a little differently.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, let's talk about all the films that are not in the MCU first.
Okay.
And then in through from 2011 to 2014, and then go back and then wrap with the cinematic universe.
Sounds great.
X-Men First Class, leading in...
Love.
I love this movie. Favorite part... Okay, who's your favorite recast?
Fassbender,
totally. Yeah. Closely followed by McAvoy.
Yes, McAvoy.
McAvoy, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but Fassbender... Yeah.
Fassbender rules. I like him in all movies.
Pretty much.
He was great. First thing I saw him in was in Glorious Bastards.
Okay.
He plays the British spy that died in the gripping scene. I love Inglourious Bastards. It's a great movie.
Me too. Great movie.
But there are, oh, that movie is so good. I remember walking out of that movie and like, it was inconsistent with the rest of the X-Men movies. Like, things don't match up, but I don't even care.
It's okay.
It's okay. That's how much that movie proved itself to me. Kevin Bacon was a great villain.
Yeah.
He was a good Sebastian Shaw. Maybe not the Sebastian Shaw of the comics, but, you know, if we've established at this point, you really could move away from, this is what they're like in the comics. Yeah. And even fans are like, it's okay.
It's
because fine. You're respecting these characters. I still recognize who this character is, so it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. But that opening scene where it's like a reshot and then continuing forward of the first X-Men movie with the camp.
And it was done pitch perfectly, like
shot for shot.
Perfect.
Yeah. The saturation,
the cinematography, the music,
gorgeous. Yeah, absolutely. And they moved Matthew Vaughn pulled that movie together quickly, like almost out of nothing.
Yeah,
it was very rushed production, and it doesn't show. I don't think. I mean, not really in the slightest.
I agree. Yeah.
So, well, since we're talking about X-Men, 2013 ushered in the Wolverine, and 2014 ushered in Days of Future Past, which you haven't seen. We talked about that.
So,
the Wolverine. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Thoughts.
Better than X-Men Origins. Origins,
agreed. Yeah, I agree.
Logan Solo doesn't really do it for me. I like Logan as part of the team.
I agree. Even in the comics, Logan Solo just doesn't really do it for me. Though, The Death of Wolverine by Charles Soule and Steve McKeven, yes, it's really good. It's really, 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 really good. I'm a big Charles Soule fan. He can write all books and comics for all I care. Mm. Like him and Bendis and Geoff Johns, like if you could just write everything, that'd be great. Thanks.
I really want to read Mark Millar's Old Man Logan.
Oh, you've never read it?
No.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. Hugh Jackman keeps joking that if they eventually he will be Old Man Logan. Like he'll be old enough to do it. So
yeah.
That'd be a good story to tell. I liked the Wolverine. I think it's got some really good parts, but Solo Wolverine just doesn't really do it for me. And the third act of that movie kind of it's different than the rest of the film.
Yep.
It's a different character piece where it becomes almost traditional action movie.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah, and that's the part that kind of loses it. Mm-hmm. But you got this nice sting with Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen at the end, and that ties right into Days of Future Past, which you haven't seen, so we won't really talk about it, but you need to watch this movie.
Oh, I know, I really do.
It's really really well done. Just top notch. A couple things in there that I would have liked more Sentinels, actually. Like from the 70s, there's not enough of them in my understanding, but you even get like Fassbender and McAvoy doing Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in their own little way. It's like this subtle like shift change in their voice.
Yeah.
And it's really spot on. It just all the mess that is the X-Men continuity, which is kind of funny because X-Men continuity is a mess. It's a mess. And so it's really funny that out of all other movies about superheroes, it's the X-Men that are a mess. It's great. I want to plug a podcast, Rachel Miles Explained the X-Men.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It's so good. Rachel Miles Explained the X-Men. They go through X-Men history starting from the very beginning and try to hash out like where it all connects and where it went loopy, but they're really good and really funny and know what they're talking about. So that's my plug for them. But so that's moving. So let's move backward, back to 2011, go into 2012.
12.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. Did you see it?
I swore to myself I would not.
It better than the first Ghost Rider movie. It actually has
that
its moments.
It doesn't take much.
No, it doesn't. But it has its moments, a little bit more Ghost Rider-y. It's a little off kilter. It's a little offbeat. It's fun. It does kind of lose it again towards the end. Okay. But I did think it was a better movie.
Okay.
And Nick Cage. I like Nick Cage. I think he makes some weird choices as an actor, but I think he's got this offbeat sensibility that people forget that he really is a good actor.
Mm.
And so it's just he's been in a slew of bad films.
Sure.
And that doesn't help.
Sure.
But I like it. But okay, so we're moving on. Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2. Because then the rest of them are all Marvel Cinematic.
Really, really enjoy these movies. It's hard for me to compare them to the Tobey Maguire films.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them. I don't know that...
I'm so conflicted because I like the characterization better.
Yep.
It feels, like we said in the last episode, it feels like the ultimate Spider-Man version, which is I consider like my Spider-Man.
Right.
Quippy, funny, clever. And yet, overall, the plotting and the way these movies are constructed, I'm not crazy about. Like, both films, I left the theater just feeling like, I wanted to like that more, and I don't.
I wanted to like it more than I did, and you can't put your finger on exactly why.
I think it's after seeing the second one, there were so many kind of contrived feeling things. It was felt very predictable.
Yes,
they were creeping into.
As a comic fan, it feels predictable, but I know people who aren't comic fans that came away and really liked it. Like people who were devastated that Gwen died because they didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, rumor is that she's coming back for Spider-Man 3.
We'll see.
With the Jackal clone kind of thingy.
We'll see.
We'll see. It's all conjecture until I see the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't like Spider-Man 2 as much as Amazing Spider-Man 2 as much as you did. A.V. Arad strikes again. A.V. Arad, A.V. Arad, I don't know. But you can feel the meddling. Again,
it feels like just the studio took over.
You can feel studio meddling over and over and over again. Yep. Like, oh, Marvel did this. They built this up. So therefore, we have to do what they took years to do and do it right now.
Right, right, right.
But the thing is that we talked about Iron Man 2 feeling like that, and then they sprung and off and did other things.
True.
So maybe it'll find its legs and not, but who knows?
I don't think Sony has the same launching pad that Marvel had. Marvel had access to way more characters,
yeah.
To way more properties that Sony is like, well, we have Spider-Man and the villains that he come with him, and that's like basically it.
Yeah, I agree.
So Fox has a better chance of doing building their own universe than Sony does.
Yes, I agree. Well, I think there's way more X-Men to pull from than Spider-Man characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just hands down. So we only have a couple minutes left, and we have a lot of Marvel Cinematic Universe to talk about. Yeah. So, Thor, Captain America First Avenger in 2011, Avengers in 2012, Iron Man 3 in 2013 with Thor the Dark World, and then 2014 we saw Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's start with Thor. Go.
Loved Thor.
Yeah, really, I was very, not infatuated, but enthralled would be the word, by everything that Kenneth Branagh kind of took and twisted and did.
What a brilliant director.
I love Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
Well, they were right. Thor's the Shakespearean type character, and they went to the Shakespeare guy.
Yeah, that was such a pitch perfect thing to do.
Yep, and he was right. He built this strong cast around the no-name.
Yeah.
And came out with something really good. A little plotting sometimes
in
its own way, and a little bit too green screen sometimes for its own good. But arguably, a lot of movies are like that, so that's okay. But Anthony Hopkins is Odin.
Come on, man.
Awesome. And Tom Hiddleston, I think the internet has said almost everything it can say about Tom Hiddleston at this point.
He stole the show.
He did. He really stole the show. I like him. I actually saw him in... No, Thor first, but then Midnight in Paris came out, which is one of my all-time, maybe top five favorite movies. It's a Woody Allen movie, and he plays F. Scott Fitzgerald in that.
Yep.
And I remember watching them like, oh, Tom Hiddleston. Oh, this is awesome. Yeah, and then, but he steals every movie. Yeah, he is really a tremendous actor.
How about that time that the Human Torch had a shield?
When Johnny Storm throws his mighty shield, he turns into Steve Rogers and yields. No, okay, just kidding. I think the first, I keep going back, out of all the Avengers that we've seen on screen thus far, Captain America is my favorite.
Oh.
I love Captain America. I loved the first Avenger. I loved the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
For totally different reasons.
Yes.
But I love both those films. When I'm like, I want to watch a Marvel movie, the Captain movies are the ones that I spring to first.
Nice.
Yeah, not Iron Man. I spring to Captain America first.
Interesting.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely Iron Man. I'll either watch Avengers or I'll watch like Iron Man 1 or 2.
Yeah, and not 3.
Three. I don't own 3. I don't own 3 yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I love 3.
You know, I love the pulpy Indiana Jones feel of the first Avenger. I could have done with less lasers. Like more bullets, less lasers.
Still, but
it's the Marvels.
It's a pretty classic.
It's classic. And I think Winter Soldier did like some of the stuff that was missing in first Avenger, like the war hero that is Captain America, kind of like the Smithsonian exhibit in Winter Soldier, just totally expanded that into exactly what everybody was looking for. Yes. And I was like, I'm good. I got it all. It's all there. I really liked Red Skull in First Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I thought he killed
Hugo.
Hugo Weaving killed it. And you put Tommy Lee Jones in any sassy character, I am there. Look at him. He's making me cry. that is an all-star cast with Peggy Carter getting her own show and like all this stuff. It really, who's supposedly also appearing in Ant-Man.
Oh, yes, I did hear that. I read that. I have to say, I expected to be more distracted by Chris Evans having been Human Torch.
I wasn't at all.
I wasn't at all. I forgot.
No.
I forgot.
The blessing that he actually wasn't blonde in
Jurassic Four.
Yeah, actually, it was a good way. But he's a better actor than a lot of people give him credit for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows that
he's got it.
Yep. That he can do better than what he was given in Fantastic Four.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he was given a good amount, actually. He was a good Johnny Storm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was given a good amount. I wouldn't say he was given a good script.
No, you're right. But as the character, he was given a good amount.
Yep.
So let's talk Avengers. I have a story. Continue.
Okay. Well, yeah,
go ahead.
I mentioned that on a previous episode that I saw the 2009 Star Trek.
Yes.
Like four times in theaters.
Yeah.
Also saw Avengers four times in theaters.
Did you? I think I saw it that many times.
A couple times with people who are so not expensive. Comic book fans. Like, I know. But it was
like $60 great. That we spent. Yeah.
And I saw it in Manhattan four times.
Yeah.
A couple times with people who were not comic book fans who wanted to see this movie. And I was like, I'll see it with you.
Yep.
What's your story though?
I got tickets ahead of time for IMAX opening night, and we got there's a group of like maybe like eight of us assigned seats. IMAX got there. People were sitting in our seats. Theater's full.
Uh-oh.
Move. Well, someone's sitting in our seats. I don't care. These are ours. We paid for these. Movie starts. So we're standing in the aisle, on the stairs, like get on with damn seats.
Yeah.
Like this is Avengers.
Yeah.
Like the Tesseract is on screen and blah blah blah. All this is the other is talking, so on and so forth. We make it until about maybe when Loki shows up and taps Hawkeye with his hokey pokey Loki stick.
Yes.
And then the guy comes and he's like, we're sorry, but we have to ask you to leave. You can't stand there. I'm like, well, they're in our seats. And they said, well, we can't stop the movie, so you have to go.
So you had to leave?
Yep.
Even though
I paid for those seats.
So you had to leave and you were not refunded.
Oh, the Avengers premiere. Yeah. It's like Jurassic Park all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were not refunded for your...
We got free movie passes.
Okay.
Not IMAX.
Yeah.
We're not refunded. Got free... I will not say the name of the theater.
Yeah, don't say it.
But... I was not happy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be there.
I was not happy.
Have you gone back since?
Yeah, I have. I feel bad. I used to work customer service. I feel bad when stuff like that happens, but I was not happy.
Yeah.
I was not happy. But because I bought them online, they didn't get refunded.
Right, got it.
We're running a little late. So, Iron Man 3, thoughts?
I actually really enjoyed Iron Man 3. I really enjoyed it.
There are parts of it I really like. There are other parts that I really don't.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay. Trevor Sattery.
Yes, Trevor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really enjoyed that, even though I knew better.
Okay.
You know, oftentimes I think that the people who don't have a problem with major character changes are people who are not so attached to those characters.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right? Admittedly, I'm less attached.
To the Mandarin.
But I just thought that it was done so well and Ben Kingsley was so charming as Trevor.
I agree. Okay, now I'm with you. I like the character of Trevor. I thought the twist was a good idea. I'm mad that I got robbed of the chance to see more of Ben Kingsley play that scary Mandarin.
Fair enough.
That's the part that I was upset about.
Because that was a scary Mandarin.
It was.
The trailers where he's like voicing over.
Yeah.
That was scary.
It was a scary, scary villain and they took it away for a less interesting villain.
Okay, that's true. That's
the part that that's the part I didn't really like. I didn't care for the armor in Iron Man 3. It was a little too gold.
It was too ostentatious. Yeah, true.
Yeah. And so, what about Thor the Dark World?
I kind of had similar feelings about Thor the Dark World as I did about Iron Man 2, actually, where I liked it less than the first one, but still enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. I liked it about Empire. Rewatched it not too long ago, and I do really like it a lot. It's got its good moments. Alan Taylor did a nice job directing it. He added more Norse elements into the story, yeah. Like even just the sets of Asgard feel a little bit more Nordic, mm-hmm. in their way, more Scandinavian.
You know, I think maybe my biggest problem with it was the fact that it was more, even more CG than the first one. I feel, at least it seemed to me.
Actually, you know, it's funny because I watched behind the scenes and like stuff when they like go to the Dark World, yeah. Stuff like that. That's a real place.
Really?
Yeah, they just changed the color of the sky.
It's just,
but it
looks so CG.
It's in,
it really does.
I want to say it's in Norway or Iceland or Greenland or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but it was a real place, and that surprised me because I thought it was all green screen.
Yeah,
and it wasn't. Like it. And I was like, "That's weird." When I think it's green screen, and it's not, but it looks green screen. It's not like a surprise. Where you're like, "Oh, I thought it was makeup, but it actually is CG." But you know, like, nope, it was the opposite. And I agree with you. And I think Thor: The Dark World, Malekith suffers from the Marvel one-shot villain.
Yeah.
Loki was really the only one that really broke that mold where he became just as important as...
Correct.
He became just as important as any of the heroes.
Right.
And no other villain has really touched that the same way. Arguably, Ben Kingsley's Mandarin could have. And it went a different direction.
Right.
And Red Skull is in the stratosphere somewhere.
Right.
So, whatever. Maybe never to be seen again.
Yeah.
Because... Captain America 3 is Civil War, so, right. So which is great. It's awesome. Super excited, but no Red Skull.
Well, we'll see. Mm. I loved Zachary Levi coming back in Thor: The Dark World.
He didn't come back.
Oh, sorry, not coming back. Replacing the guy who replaced him
in Thor. Yes. Yes. Yeah, he was great. Flynn Rider.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Because I remember first seeing the first movie and being like, wow, that guy looks like Zachary Levi, and checking and being like, no, it's not him. All right, yeah. Fine. And seeing the second movie and being like, wow, they made him look more like Zachary. I think I saw it with you. I mm-hmm. think I made the comment, you're like, they made him look more like Zachary Levi this time. And you're like, it was Zachary Levi. Oh, yeah. That. Yeah.
That's because it was him.
Right? I was like, yeah.
I got it.
But now. It wasn't last time, so I just...
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I thought the twist ending of Thor: The Dark World was really good. Was like, really even though good. I like everybody should have seen it coming.
Yeah, it was still
the signs are there.
Yeah. The signs were there, but still, I didn't see it coming until very, very soon before they revealed it.
Yeah. There are some really great, besides like the guard smiling and little things like that. But there's like great, even the way Odin sits on his throne is the way Loki sits on the throne in Thor. It's not the way Odin sits there.
That's really
interesting. It's a very interesting little
subtle
things.
Yeah.
Props to Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because he was like playing Odin, playing Loki, playing Odin.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great.
Well, and props to Alan Taylor for that.
For that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Winter Soldier.
This was such a great movie. This is like the best Tom Clancy movie I ever saw.
Right, yeah. Without Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It was just, it's like All the President's Men with Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so freaking good.
It was just, I remember watching it in spoilers for Winter Soldier, which is more recent, but I remember watching it in theaters and like Bucky's mask comes off when a soldier's coming and it's Bucky. And I was like way at the top of the theater and way at the bottom of the theater. I go, oh, it's his friend. It's his friend that you don't remember the name of, but it's okay because you knew it was his friend. Although I feel bad because a lot of people were like, people who are not comic fans were like, I didn't remember Bucky at all. Like even the Smithsonian exhibit at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? So we're really running later than we normally will today. Right. But so.
Ooka chaka. Ooka chaka. Ooka chaka.
All right. All right. Before we move on to Guardians, I do want to say something about Winter Soldier. They got frickin' Robert Redford to say Hail Hydra.
That's true.
Robert frickin' Redford got to say Hail Hydra. That became
such a
huge
meme.
People, there's not like, I remember a day not going by at work where somebody would be like, Hail Hydra. Hail Hydra. The memes galore.
Okay. I mean, I never thought I would see the day where that would become so mainstream.
Hail Hydra
was everybody,
a thing.
It was like May the Force Be With You of the Marvel
exactly,
Universe.
Exactly, exactly. Right? Which you hear more Hail Hydra than you hear May the Force
Be With You. Yeah, right now you do, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, we've established before that I work at a school, but I remember I was walking in my car one day and kids were up top at the football field on the very top of the bleachers, and I hear Miss blah blah blah, Hail Hydra. Yes, thank God you said Hydra. All right, I do not have to give you a detention. Okay. All right. So Hookah Chaka.
Hookah Chaka.
Hooked on a feeling. Ba-ba-na-da.
Awesome. I love this movie. This is a good movie. I'm so glad we saw this movie on like the Wednesday or Thursday that it came out.
Yeah,
that
we did.
That was great. I'm so glad we saw it before everyone else, because like, then I got to talk about it with everybody.
Everybody. It was awesome. Everyone was awesome. Oh, yeah. I wasn't a big Guardians reader. Mm. We've talked about this, but there's like about comics in space that it just doesn't
jive with me. Yeah.
But comic movies in space, I happen to love very much. Yeah. The production value of this movie is fantastic.
So good.
Because it doesn't have the same budget as Avengers or even Thor or anything like that. But
you wouldn't really
or Thor the Dark World. But you wouldn't know it because it's concrete, real sets.
Yep.
Not a lot of green screen. It was a well cast, and everyone was impressed with everything that they bought. This is a 2-hour movie that was made general audiences believe that a tree could talk.
Yeah.
And then a raccoon was awesome.
Yep.
Like, yeah, a movie that could make you love raccoons shooting guns and like scratching his crotch. Like,
true.
Just props to Marvel across the board.
I can't say enough great things about Chris Pratt in this movie, or Batista, or sorry, he's not just Batista.
Yeah,
he's got a legitimate like Dwayne
Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper,
yeah,
Michael Rooker, Karen Gillian.
Karen Gillian,
she was the best. I wanted more Nebula.
I felt a little cheated by her. I love her on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So I was looking forward to more of her, and I didn't like as much of her as I wanted. But
she, spoilers, escaped.
Yes.
So you know what that means. You know she's coming back, which is good. The Thanos scene what happened way sooner in the movie than I thought.
Me too.
Super Star Wars Emperor vibes.
Yes.
It was great. It was really cool. I really liked Lee Pace's Ronin. I wish he was given more to do.
I wish he had more dimensions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Marvel one-shot thing.
It is. Yeah. It is very much like
one-shot villain.
Yep.
It's just they're not given enough to do, which makes sense when you're trying to establish your heroes, but it's a cool villain. Lee Pace is a great actor. And it just wasn't given enough. Though he does have his great scenes. I like when he kills the other right in front of Thanos. And he was like, that's what I think of you right now. This is how I'm feeling.
Right.
Ronan is sad and angry. And I'm going to go.
So he's going to let you know
paint
that.
My face and swing my hammer. But I'm not Thor. All right. So we can break down these movies at an entirely different time.
Oh yeah,
because we could do commentary on all of these, starting from the ones. You know what? We are going to do commentary on all these. I'm not.
Eventually,
we will come to the point in which we will do commentary, and
that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. And so, just to wrap up, Marvel's moving ahead their slate of movies all the way through 2019.
Yes,
I'm super excited. I'm super pumped. For all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe things, everybody outside of the Cinematic Universe, it's a little less obvious where they're going. Spider-Man's the will he, won't he, what are they doing? We're not sure.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four reboot, we'll see. Haven't seen anything for that as of now. Of course, as soon as I say that I record, I'm going to look online and be like, first photo of Fantastic Four is out.
I can't wait for Michael B. Jordan.
He's a great actor. He was Cyborg in
Justice League. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. I wanted him for Miles Morales, but
he's a little old for that part.
Yeah, but that's so what they bend ages all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But still,
I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with it. I mean,
yeah.
I already got two Fantastic Four movies of mediocre quality. I mean, like, throw something at me.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm open.
Just whatever. Like, it's a wide open field. And then, I mean, you haven't seen Days of Future Past, but X-Men Apocalypse, I'm very excited about.
Oh, yes.
I'm very excited. And then you know, all the Wolverine sequel-ish, maybe, you know, like whatever, Deadpool.
I was really hoping that I was really hoping that Andrew Garfield would walk out on that stage next to Kevin Feige
and be like, "Hey, I'm in Spider-Man.
Truce, you guys.
I'm going to be in Avengers." But he's basically like, "I'm going to be in Avengers."
Yeah. Right. That's how they talk.
I don't know. Sony's just got, it's their own franchise. I'd be very surprised if that ever happened. But, I mean, but however, it doesn't matter because, I mean, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. walked on with fisticuffs like, oh yeah, Civil War.
Right.
I was listening to something. I was listening, I think, to the announcement, and Captain America was originally billed as the Serpent Society, and he went through the whole slate. He was like Guardians 2, Ragnarok, Black Panther, Infinity War, Captain America, Captain Marvel, Inhumans, like all these things, and he goes back and he's like, I'm not sold on Serpent Society. Boom, Civil War. Like, I'm having buyer's remorse like on this title. I'm really excited. It's going to be good. I can't stop watching the Age of Ultron trailer.
I can't stop
watching
it. There are no strings on me, Tim.
No, they're not. I can't stop watching it. Someone had the brilliant theory, cannot remember who for the life of me, that scene where he's like melting metal onto himself at the very beginning to create a new body, whatever else, could potentially be melting vibranium onto himself, hence Black Panther.
I heard that theory as well, yeah.
Super good idea.
Yeah.
Super awesome. I'm so excited.
Yep.
I can't stand it. I love Elizabeth Olsen. She's so cool.
I love James Spader.
Ah, me too. I don't know why I got more excited about him than Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah. Well,
because there are no strings on him.
There are none.
And there are no strings on me either. All right. Frank, tell the people where they can find us.
At Beer with Geeks. Facebook.com/BeerWithGeeks, BeerWithGeeks.com, BeerWithGeeks@gmail.com, iTunes.
Wait, what's the name of our show?
Beer with Geeks.
Oh my God, I'm drinking tea.
Oh, dude, what?
Tea with Geeks, the podcast where we talk about classic literature from the 18th century to the 19th century.
Oh God, he's slipped back into,
twiddling my mustache.
Yeah, okay, go back to knitting your Halloween costumes. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher Radio. Check us out, leave us reviews, tell your friends. Much appreciated, all of you who've done that. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for bearing with us in this long episode. We appreciate you, and we will see you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. All character names, sound effects, and quotes are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Thought Bubble Audio Studios, unless otherwise indicated.
Blurp, 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 blurp.
Bleep, bleep, bloop, 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 bloop. All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
I want some more. 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right.